Well, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your playing days, because right now my co-host here described you as a media rocket, which I consider just a really great compliment. Did you know when you were playing that you wanted to go into media in some capacity, or did you just kind of end up here?
Everything kind of changed after I got arrested for an alleged event. I enjoyed the anonymity of being a punter. If nobody had a clue I was on the team, I was cool with it. I like to go out and have a good time. So the fact that nobody knew who I was, I just looked like a rich kid who had a rich dad, and I was just buying shots for everybody. I was okay with that life, with nobody having a clue who I was. And then whenever I got arrested for a public intoxication, all the media who had never talked about me or to me before basically just buried me, right? So they just buried me for being an idiot, this drunk punter, blah, blah, blah. So I started using Twitter as a way to explain to people that although I did get arrested for a stupid event and I might have been publicly intoxicated, that I wasn't a bad guy. So my Twitter just started exploding, blowing up, especially here in Indiana. All the college kids who partied in the same places that I partied were like, yep, we love this guy. And it just started to grow from there. And I had no expectations to be in the media world. I didn't really want to be in the media world, but as my social media started growing and people started talking to me in public that I had no idea who they were, and people were buying my jerseys that weren't my family or ex-girlfriends, it just got to the point where I enjoyed it. I didn't mind it. And I said, if something happens, it happens. And then I started doing stand-up comedy, and everything just kind of started building on each other. And I started really loving what I was doing off the field a lot more than what I was doing on the field. And I decided to chase some fulfillment, turn down some money, and it's been a blast in the media world.
Yeah, man, this is a perfect jumping off point for something we were talking about earlier, and part of why we were so excited to talk to you, because clearly not everybody's you. Clearly not everybody has your personality, and that, you know, part of this is, yeah, you are who you are, and so it works on to a different level than other guys can possibly achieve. But we talk a lot about whether athletes still need traditional outlets or what the actual value is to athletes, because every time I, you know, talk to guys who are currently playing or a lot of guys who are former playing, they still feel like their narrative isn't being controlled enough, right? Like, you felt like you got buried in your career and it spawned you to take more control of your own narrative. And I guess the question to you is, do you feel as though traditional media still has a lot of value or even some value to professional athletes, or that you have full control now?
No, I think the mainstream networks and media definitely have value for professional athletes. I mean, I'm very thankful that I get a chance to work with ESPN coming up and DAZN. By the way, all NFL this upcoming season in Canada is on DAZN. I'll be making a lot of NFL content on the DAZN app. I'm excited for that opportunity. But for me, I never got a lot of love from the media, even when I was tweeting. I'd be tweeting pretty funny things. I sold 10,000 tickets for a stand-up comedy tour in Indiana, and it was getting really no buzz or love from any media people. None of the main networks ever talked to me after games or practices. It was kind of a grassroots operation that I had on social media. So the way I view everything is just a commercial. Like, ESPN's letting me do Thursday Night Football. I'm very thankful for that opportunity, but it's exposing me to a lot of people that may have never heard of me from the internet before. Mm-hmm. So I still believe there is a lot of value to these bigger networks and the mainstream and these different avenues for content and the ability to adapt. But for me, it's all about growing, hopefully, and remaining true to myself. And I think I can offer something that not a lot of people can, which is a little bit more of an entertaining perspective and relatable perspective, hopefully, because I'm just a basic-ass dude.
As you do get bigger and you're in front of more people and different audiences and all, you know, just sort of grow, I imagine it gets harder to be this guy, to be the, you know, the outgoing, funny, gregarious guy, because there might be some things you can't say, right? As the audience gets bigger, it gets a little bit harder. I'm wondering for you how hard it is. Like, you know stuff behind the scenes. You know stuff about Peyton Manning. You know stuff about guys you used to play with. How hard is it for you to walk the line of being true to those guys, not upsetting them, while still giving the fans something they want to hear from your playing days?
Well, I think my message is much different than what most players do. I'm not trying to prove how good or smart I am. For me, I'm just trying to make people have a little bit of a better time. I'm trying to give mental vacation. So nice. Burying people isn't really my move. It's not really something I would do. And I also respect my friendships, not only with the guys I played with and the people that I have stories with, but also my boys who quit their jobs and moved out to Indianapolis. guys that I've known since high school and been friends with since I was a kid. They live out here and work with me on a daily basis. My parents work for me. My brother works for me. So I have quite a crew. My fiance is always around. I have quite a crew surrounding me that keeps me grounded, and I'm not sure I'll ever change. Some people will hate it. You know, I've come across some humans that don't love me.
No.
I'm not for everybody, but I think the people that will be with me will ride with me for wherever we go. And the bigger I get, the bigger the stage. Obviously, you have to act differently. The FCC has their rules and stuff like that. But I still have my podcast. I still have other things and other outlets for me to remain a raw, genuine, just wide-open human being, which I will take to other platforms. I just have to convert to their rules and their structure a little bit, but I'll still be myself. So I'm not really scared of much of anything changing me. I'm not scared of not being able to abide by people's rules. I just know that each avenue has its own way about going things.
Again, we're talking to Pat McAfee, former NFL punter, NXT analyst, host of Pat McAfee Show, works with ESPN, just like a million different things. And yeah, I think that you are a big part of something that is pivoting right now, and you're one of the faces of it, which is, you know, authenticity in sports media. And yeah, that lack of fear of being yourself, and it's being turned into other major networks. Like, people are picking up on that stuff, and that's part of the reason why you are on ESPN, right? Is that they can understand the value of you being you and not trying to change that too much and trying to borrow from that. And I think being straightforward and having – sorry, go ahead.
No, I think you're spot on there. I think we live in a much more woke society, right? I think social media and digital platforms have provided the world with an opportunity to just spot BS when they see it. Like, you can see somebody who's a corporate puppet on TV. And for me, the reason why I have the following that I have and the reason I'm getting jobs is because I'm not one of those guys. And every time I get into a building, ESPN, for instance, I went to a college football seminar 2 weeks ago in Charlotte. Everybody was there. Herb Street, just everybody was there. And all these things that they were being said were all these rules for color commentators. Like, hey, talk here, say this. It's all for other players. And then they would literally walk up to me right after it and be like, none of these rules are for you. We literally hired you just to be you. Whatever you feel, whatever you want to do, you just let it fly. So that's a lot of faith these companies are putting in me, and I'm sure they'll regret it, but I'm going in with the mindset where I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to be wide open, and let's see how it goes. But
yeah.
I'm very thankful for these opportunities, and I think if I didn't start on social media, they would never come.
Well, and I was going to say, if you were, you know, teaching this course, the authenticity part of it is big. You actually having a big personality is a massive part of it. But what do you think some athletes are missing when they're trying to become what you are?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. I think I'm very lucky that I have a comedian's brain, right? I'm very lucky that I'm a super observant human. I enjoy things as opposed to something being sad. I've always viewed it as this is going to be a good story someday. I think I'm very lucky that I have that. I think I'm very lucky that I'm just a basic-ass dude. Like, I've learned that my palates for things are very regular, very normal. If I think something's cool, like, probably a lot of people are going to think it's cool. If I think something tastes good, I assume a lot of people are going to feel that way just because of how basic of a guy I am. So I don't know if those are things that you can just pick up. I think I was very lucky to be born this way and have this way. And I think, honestly, my ADD probably helps me, too, because I like to stay focused on a lot of things. So I'm not sure if there's anybody else that'll be able to do what I'm doing right now. I hope so. But I think everybody has their own lane, and I'm just trying to stick to mine.
Have you found that being the way you are yourself and authentic and having been someone who played, are you able to draw more out of other athletes when you talk with them, when you have them on your podcast? Is that an advantage you have?
I think the thing I'm most proud about through my football career is in locker rooms, there's always a pretty positive rapport about me, right? I'm a punter. Punters and kickers, I'm not sure what it's like everywhere else. I was very lucky to be with the greatest of all time, Vinatieri, where we were friends with almost everybody, basically everybody in the locker room. And I was always very vocal. I always told stories. I very much understood that my job was nowhere near as hard as theirs, so I kept that self-awareness level at an all-time high at all times. But I always had a good rapport with my teammates, and that's a big deal to me because whenever I do an interview with a guy, they're going to ask around to somebody who was a teammate with me, and they're going to be like, what's Pat like? And they'll be like, good dude. And I think people come into an interview with me knowing, A, that I'm coming from a good place, and also, B, I'm a much bigger idiot than they are. So anything that they say that could potentially get them in trouble, I've done something a lot worse, and I'm not going to try to get them in that gotcha thing. I want to find out why greats are great instead of mowing them down and hoping they fall. And I think that type of trust that people have when they come on my show is something that I uphold because that's genuinely how I feel.
When you're trying to find out what makes people great, have you found there's something that you think is more consistent than anything?
Work ethic. I honestly think like everything revolves around work ethic and the ability to just keep going. You know, everybody says trust the process in sports. I think Embiid kind of started marketing it a lot more in the 76ers organization the last couple of years, but that's been in every locker room for a long time. Like, trust the process, do your job. And that's a big deal. Whenever you just trust the process and aren't scared to go into work, I think in every single profession, like, that's a big deal. And I have this very unique situation where my dad was a truck driver, right? I saw days where he'd wake up at like 5 a.m., go drive a truck around the country, come back 2 days later, like 6 p.m., and take me to practice. And I got a chance to really learn a work ethic from my dad, who worked his ass off. And I think I carry that into every profession I go into, and every human I talk to that succeeds seems to want to be great, and they want to work. And I think that's a big deal. I really do. And now, granted, there's people who kind of fall into situations, and I'm very, very envious of that. But for me, I think if you just work your ass off, good things will happen. And hopefully I'll continue to do that for my boys, and hopefully I'll continue to talk to people that have done that.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And I think it's a good message to have, and I think it's an important one for just about everybody, even especially talented people, actually, like yourself. So it's a month before the season. We'll get you out on this. You are an indie guy. Luck's got this calf injury that's lingered for more than, I think, 3 months now, and he's a guy who's been relentlessly battered throughout his career. And for you and, you know, the people you've talked to, where's your level of concern with this injury at this point?
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, okay.
This is an absolute nightmare. Relentlessly battered, by the way. Incredible description. That was a maestro of the dictionary type moment.
Thank
right
you.
There. That was a solid line because it's very accurate. I mean, you go back to that shoulder, kidney, liver, heart, spleen, stomach thing he had going on back in the day where he had surgery and then rehab, and then he took him to Europe to do rehab and come back. They didn't know if they could fix it, and then he'd get it fixed. And last year, they rattle off like 11 wins to end the season. Things are looking up. Things are looking good. The entire city of Indianapolis, Colts fans everywhere are like, we're back, baby. We're feeling the same way we felt whenever Peyton Manning was leading the boys every year. We got a team that's a good team. Chris Ballard's a great GM. Frank Reich is an incredible head coach. He's been here before. He's won the Super Bowl. Everybody's excited. And then whammy, only two practices since April for the franchise quarterback, a once-in-a-generation quarterback. I think there's a lot of worry. I think people don't know what to expect. I think the shoulder injury is leading a lot of people to, you know, freak out about this. But I've been told nothing. I think they're going to be releasing a statement probably in the next couple of days due to Jim Irsay getting on a SiriusXM show with Bill Polian and saying it's just a small little bone injury. I'm excited to hear what that is. So it's a big mystery around here, but definitely means for panic and a lot of pants being pooped over here. If I had to steal something from you, I would say there's a lot of underwear being relentlessly battered over here that Luck isn't going to play again.
Yeah, I love that Irsay thought in his mind that was going to calm things down. He's like, guys, it's just his bones. It's just the bones he uses aren't good. And it should be fine because it's just bones. Like, sweet.
Jim Irsay is a man that has taken care of me and my family. He's donated to my foundation. He's done a lot of great things for not only the city of Indianapolis, but the country. Obviously, he's had his demons in the past that he battles every day. I have nothing but the utmost respect for the guy, but that small little bone line is going to cause quite a ripple, I believe. Yeah. And I'm excited to see how it all comes. But I think as long as he's playing during the regular season and performing well, which is what Andrew Luck tends to do, I think this will all be forgotten. But, boy, it's a sketchy situation here in Indianapolis right now.